Got to say, Loz and I were pretty surprised that Lee Friedman has bought into the Darren Weird 4-year disqualification. Adam Pengelly joins us. G'day, Adam.
Morning, CK. Morning, Laurie.
Wonder if you caught that, mate, that Lee basically saying it came as no big surprise and bad luck.
Or his exact words, TK, racing's worst kept secret or something like that.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, fascinating comment from Lee. I did hear it, actually, or I did read about it. Sorry, I didn't hear it on the radio, but I did read about it yesterday. I suppose Lee's over there in Singapore, just training horses in Singapore, and probably hasn't much to do, and thought he someone rang up for an interview, and he thought he'd fire a few bullets.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know what to make of the comments, to be honest. Lee's outspoken. We like his opinions, but I'm not sure about this one.
Yeah, I always just think you've got to be careful. Tread warily would be my advice, but... Darren Weir's actually come to a financial arrangement. I haven't seen a purchase price here for his property, but Kieran Maher and David Eustace, that training combination, have picked up the Ballarat complex.
Yeah, I'm glad they've done that, TK, just for the sake of the staff more than anything, because there's so many former members of Darren Weir's staff that were left in limbo after the events of the past week. And obviously that big base up there at Ballarat and the boxes need to be filled. And Kieran Maher and David Eustace are quickly emerging as one of the biggest power players in Australian racing. And they're going to take over Darren Stables up there at Ballarat. I think they'll probably take over the majority of his horses that are left as well. Obviously, some of those high-profile horses have left to go to other stables. But, yeah, I suppose with the situation with Kieran and David as well, that Caulfield trains are going to be evicted in about 5 years. So in a few years' time, they're going to be looking for a permanent base anyway. So it probably suits them nice to have that base at Ballarat. They'll still have some horses down there at Caulfield. I think Kieran's looking to try and have some horses at Warrnambool as well. So they'll be spreading their resources across all of Victoria. But, yeah, they'll... I think from the biggest point of this is for the staff's sake, to try and get a lot of these staff in jobs, and I'll just transfer to Kieran and David straight away.
Yeah, some good races at Caulfield on Saturday and with the All Stakes, the headline act. And is that the first Group 1 of the season?
Yeah, down there? Down there at Melbourne, Laurie. Yeah, I've got to apologise. I haven't talked much about it this week, have we, just given the events with Darren Weir. But it's shaken up as a really good race, and I suppose the big talking point is going to be the first real test of how do we treat these former Darren Weir runners from a form perspective? There's going to be four of them going around the All Stakes at Caulfield there tomorrow. Brave Smash, Lands of Plenty, 50 Stars and Whispering Brook. They're all with different stables as well. Do we trust their previous performances on form? Do we have to treat them a little bit differently? I'm not too sure. I suppose the first real test is going to be tomorrow. Kematari's the favourite for that All Stakes there tomorrow. He trolled up really nicely up here in Sydney. James Cummings and the Dolphin team have got their horses flying at the moment. I suppose most of the interest will be on how Darren's former horses perform in the All Stakes tomorrow.
We've just got a SMS come through, mate. Does Adam give Eggtart any hope tomorrow? I think it's a big chance first up in a small field off its trial. Then I'll be barring it till first up next prep. Thomas.
Watch this trial. Very good, very good. It's only a smallish field. I think she looks over to me. I'm not quite sure whether she'll be sharp enough to win over 200 metres first up, but having said that, Champagne Cuddle's a short price favourite in that Breeders' Classic, and I was sort of looking to bet around too. I think Eggtart's definitely a live chance. I would not discourage that listener from backing her each way if that listener was interested. I think she's a real chance tomorrow.
Well, Champagne Cuddle's is one of those fascinating runners in that Breeders' Classic, the Yarraman Park Breeders' Classic. It's over 1,200 metres. Beyond Baker gave Champagne Cuddle's that hit out down the straight in Melbourne. She was really brave, by the way, down that straight. It's just a matter of how much improvement she's taken from that. Weight-wise...
As long as she hasn't had a setback.
Yeah, weight-wise, Champagne Cuddles has been... is very, very well treated tomorrow.
My concern with her, TK, Champagne Cuddles, was she sort of seems like a filly that's sort of matured into me. It hasn't grown a whole lot. I know you mentioned she was really good down the straight. Well, she was okay down the straight. I wouldn't say she was really good. Bit of a pass mark. She was probably on the on the wrong part of the track back towards the inside. But
go down the straight. You know what I mean? Like,
I just don't know if she's really grown and matured into a really thick, solid mare. And come on, that's my little concern with her. So that Breeders' Classic shapes is a pretty interesting race. But I think Eggtart, and I also thought the horse of Tony McAvoy's Cool Passion trolled up really nicely. So they're the two horses I was looking at odds in the Breeders' Classic tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't want to take the 2:30 Champagne Cuddles. I'd rather be on Bjorn's other runner, Egyptian Symbol, who I thought was very, very good up there on the Gold Coast. But anyway, it's another fascinating race, isn't it? What about Easter Job? We've got the Golden Slipper winner back, which is always terrific to have her back. But what's that going to be, a 46-week spell?
Yeah, it's a long spell, TK. I don't know what you guys think. It's always fascinating to see the Golden Slipper winner come back, and probably even more so with Esther Jarve this year, given that she hasn't raced for close to a year. She had that throat operation for your breathing issues last year. She missed the entire spring carnival. The Hawks' wouldn't be risking her taking her back to the races if she wasn't right. That's my opinion, basically. So they must be pretty happy at home that she's done well. Obviously, she had that little bit of a mishap in that recent barrier trial when she dumped Brenton Abdullah and went around by herself and beat the trial field by about 15 lengths, but they captured it pretty quickly. It was a good little race, that one, the English Sprint, obviously to complement the English Millennium there tomorrow, but I think most interest in that English Sprint will be on Esther Judd to see how she's come back. I spoke to Michael Hawks yesterday. He's not sort of putting too many grand plans in place for Esther Judd this campaign. I just want to see her come back nicely and see how she returns at the races tomorrow.
And have you got a best bet tomorrow?
I'm actually against Esther Judd, Laurie.
Oh, rightio. Beautiful.
I'm with Fiesta. Race 5 Fiesta for me. I thought she's tried up really nicely a couple of times here. I know she's a filly that doesn't win often, but she's so consistent at the top level. She's going to need a little bit of luck from that middle gate. She'll get back in the field, but those two trials have been too hard to ignore for me. So race 5, number 8, Fiesta, my best bet. I struggled to find a bit of value on the program, to be honest. I got almost entertained. Egg Tart is probably the best value player of the day there. So, but I'm pretty keen on Fiesta. Race 5, number 8, Fiesta is my best.
And got a good first up record as well.
Yeah, she's great. Probably should be unbeaten almost first up. She's had a lot of luck in a couple of first up runs. So, I think she's ready to go tomorrow.
I'll tell you, a horse in that trialled very, very well. Cotier trialled well.
Kateri was good for Gerald Ryan, wasn't he?
Yeah.
TK.
And then you've got Spin for the Snowdons, who always had a little bit of rap on. I think the Snowdons always had a rap on too, but it's actually had the biggest gear change of all. It's been gelded. So it'll be interesting to see if the old gelding can come out and perform in Spin.
The unkindest cut of them all, TK.
The unkindest
always cut. Always turns a few horses around, doesn't it?
Plenty of great racing. We look forward to it, including the first of the Group 1s down there in Melbourne, the CF4. It's been a dramatic week in racing. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, boys. Have a great weekend.